we want to see millions of people investing in solar projects in their community and around the world.
For years, the only effective way to go solar was to have tens of thousands of dollars and a sunny roof. Investing in solar was nearly impossible. But a couple years ago, a new notion called crowdfunding got its start, and California-based Mosaic was on the forefront. Its crowdfunding program allows people to pool their resources, large or small, to build community-based solar installations. It's not about charity either. Mosaic's pioneering crowdfunding effort is letting people across the country earn a modest return on their solar investment and putting clean local power on rooftops everywhere. And it's just getting started.
I'm John Farrell, and this is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories of successful local renewable energy and exposing the policy and practical barriers to its expansion.
Here to talk about the rise of crowdfunding and Mosaic's leading role is Billy Parrish, Mosaic's president. Billy, welcome to the program.
Thanks, John.
I'm delighted to have you here, in part because I did a little background research before we got you on the line and found out that Utney Reader called you the climate kid. So you've been doing this kind of stuff for quite a number of years, even before this crowdfunding endeavor.
Yeah, it's basically my whole career. I've been working on clean energy solutions going back to freshman year of college, the year 2000.
Well, you've certainly made a good go of it, and your efforts with Mosaic are particularly impressive in terms of democratizing access to investing in renewables like solar. I've looked at other crowdfunding campaigns and seen a number of them for political things, like in Boulder, Colorado, around their municipal utility effort and other community solar ones. And they seem to be based more on the idea that people make a charitable contribution rather than an investment. What makes Mosaic's crowdfunding for solar different?
So we've gone through the very difficult processes of getting a lender's license, getting the securities approvals from state and federal regulators to offer our investments. And it's not been easy to do, but it has allowed us to differentiate our crowdfunding platform in that people can make a return on their investment. So, you know, folks investing through Mosaic are earning typically 4.5% to 7% annually.
Now, tell me about how many folks you have that have been investors so far and the number of projects you've got and kind of what you have for the prospects over the next couple of years.
So we have over 3,000 investors. We've done a couple dozen projects, and our mission is to build the number one investment platform for the clean energy economy. We want to see millions of people investing in solar projects in their community and around the world. And we see, starting with solar. Solar is a very charismatic investment product. The economics pencil out if you do it in the right way. But we see lots of other opportunities similar to solar. Electric vehicles, electric vehicle charging infrastructure, energy efficiency, wind. So we see all of these different clean energy infrastructure assets that will generate cash flows that require upfront investment. And our goal is to create a platform that allows people to post those investment opportunities and connect with investors that want to participate in them.
Now, I've heard of community net metering or virtual net metering. There are a lot of different terms for it, you know, where people can share the energy from a solar array that's in their community, and then they get a credit on their energy bill kind of based on their proportional share of that solar array. You know, how is crowdfunding different, and are the two compatible?
Yes, we're actually about to be funding our first community solar project where people will be essentially getting a credit on their bill for participating in that project through a utility, but our crowdfunders are financing the project up front. So it's the difference between buying the electricity on a monthly basis, which is an important part of the equation. You always need someone who's prepared to buy the electricity that a system generates. But then our folks are financing the system up front through a loan and are getting paid back monthly. So they're very complementary, and it's sort of doubly community crowdfunded when you have crowdfunding of a community solar project.
You just announced a new $5 million partnership with the state of Connecticut's Green Bank, where those crowdsourced dollars will provide loans to individuals to go solar. So it seems like you're definitely broadening the opportunity in terms of the financing, like you said, doubling down on that local. You know, why is the Green Bank program, the crowdsourced dollars, better than getting a bank loan, for example?
So that's an amazing program. The state of Connecticut is really leading the way in terms of what green banks can do to open up new markets for clean energy financing. And what they've essentially done is provided a first loss fund and some a junior debt piece that makes financing home solar loans in the state of Connecticut a very attractive proposition for financiers like Mosaic. So what we're doing is we're coming in and we're providing the senior debt into this partnership that will finance loans for hundreds of homeowners throughout Connecticut to go solar at a very low cost. So it's really lowering the cost of capital for people to go solar, which makes it such that more people can economically go solar.
Now, for those out there who are not financiers, the senior and junior debt just means debt that has to be paid off first, I believe.
Correct.
And the junior debt then would come after that. You know, your first crowdfunding for investment venture was in late 2012, if I'm not mistaken, and I believe it was subscribed in a very short period of time. You already kind of mentioned that you've had several other offerings that have been successful. Are there some limitations to what you can do with crowdfunding, whether it's the different state securities regulations, or is there an upper limit on the number of folks you think who would be interested in doing crowdfunding?
You know, it's funny you ask that. I think we're just beginning to test the limits of crowdfunding. I was actually reading the other day about a huge real estate development in Colombia that I think had something like $100 million crowdfunded project. And, you know, you've seen crowdfunding work for clean energy infrastructure in Europe for a long time. So it's not easy to structure the investment such that lots and lots of people can easily participate. But, you know, I think we're making good progress towards cracking that nut. I think you'll begin to see communities really financing the infrastructure that they need to thrive in the 21st century. I think you'll see them funding much larger chunks of infrastructure than people currently think is possible through this model.
One thing I'm kind of curious about is you have this trend, at least, toward communities looking at ways that they can have more control over their energy future. And some of that involves municipalizing, which is obviously a very big and thoughtful and long-term process. But there also is community choice aggregation and other kind of municipalization light methods of having more of that local control. Have you worked with any folks in those areas about using crowdfunding for doing local energy investment?
Yes, we've been approached by a number of municipal utilities that are interested in enabling their residents to directly invest in the clean energy assets that they want to buy the electricity from. So we're working on some partnerships there. That makes a lot of sense to us. But, you know, we're also working with investor-owned utilities as well. I read a very interesting piece by David Crane, the CEO of NRG, which is a big utility that is one of the most forward-thinking utilities about what our clean energy future is going to look like. You know, he really raises some very deep questions about the future of the utility business model and what purpose they are really serving and how they can partner with distributed clean energy companies in a way that will allow them to adapt and evolve their business models. That's well worth reading.
I think I've read some of his other pieces, maybe not that specific one, but there's no reason that a utility couldn't offer this kind of crowdfunding platform as well. I mean, it's certainly not familiar to their business model, and maybe they'd be calling you up and saying, how do you help us? But Energy or, you know, Xcel Energy that serves my hometown of Minneapolis, there's no reason they couldn't go out and say, you know, we want to build a lot of solar power. Why don't we get our customers to help us invest in it?
I would think that some of them will at some point. And, you know, I think there is a fraction of the utility industry that really understands the changes that are happening and are trying to get ahead of them. And that's one of many opportunities to do that.
Now, getting into a little bit of the gory technical details, you know, I alluded to earlier in terms of limitations that there are some challenges with securities laws. And of course, we've got the Federal Jobs Act, which was passed in 2012, which was really supposed to help standardize crowd financing and is still undergoing rulemaking. You know, what are some of those limitations in current law? And does the Jobs Act promise to make crowdfunding a lot easier going forward?
So to offer investments to everyone around the country, you need to register with the SEC and come up with a structure that works. And really nobody has done that yet. So it's not that it's impossible, but it's challenging. And there are ways to offer investments in particular states and to accredited investors, high net worth individuals. You know, the Jobs Act was supposed to expand the opportunities for non-accredited investors, for regular folks to be able to participate in investments. And part of that bill has been implemented, and part of it is still being interpreted by the Securities and Exchange Commission. So, you know, we actually don't know. I don't think anybody knows how that's going to turn out exactly, but we're all waiting and hopeful that new opportunities will emerge that will make it easier for people to participate.
So, Billy, what's next for Mosaic? What do you see in the next year for you guys, and where can people go to find more information about your crowd financing efforts?
So, we've been purely focused on commercial solar, community buildings, place of worship, schools, nonprofits. We will continue to do that work and are releasing a new product that will make it a lot easier for those types of institutions to go solar. But we're also rolling out a product that will allow people to take a loan and buy a system for their home and save money on their utility bills from day one. So we're very excited about the move into the home solar market and creating investment opportunities to finance those loans. So those are the two big things we've got on tap this year, and hope folks will check us out at joinmosaic.com and be part of this people-powered clean energy revolution.
That was John Farrell, ILSR's Director of Democratic Energy, speaking with Billy Parrish, President of crowdfunding pioneer Mosaic. You can read several of our articles on crowdfunding and Mosaic at ilsr.org and learn more about Mosaic and its crowdfunding opportunities at joinmosaic.com. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.